For just a few minutes, I will speak to the church. I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy. And we are looking at chapter 1, just a couple of verses. And I want to make just a few more observations. So much wonderful truth was given by Brother Kennedy when it comes to the calling of a preacher and the charge to a preacher. But I want you to see the sacred calling and just what is involved in the work of an evangelist, of a pastor, of a missionary, as they head out to accomplish what God would have them to accomplish. If you look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we will just read verses 11 and 12. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We as a church, with each of these that are based out of our church, have a real responsibility to pray and to be involved in the ministry. We've had all missionaries in the last several months that we've been ordaining, and this is now an evangelist, but an evangelist really is a missionary to the United States in many ways, and such a need, a revivalist, a special gifting in that sense, and I appreciate Brother Mueller's real heart for what God can do in these days, and he really believes it, and so we need to just get a hold of, the privilege for us to be able to be the base and to support a God-ordained man of God. And so I want to give one perspective here from R.A. Jaffray. The Apostle Paul was perhaps one of the greatest travelers of his day. You think about it, very unusual for that ancient day. He visited many lands and saw many new scenes in different countries. When he returned, he wrote a great deal. That's a lot of the New Testament. His epistles were widely read by the early churches. And yet, in all the writings of the apostle, there is not one line descriptive of the scenery of the countries through which he passed. Not a line telling of the wonders of the architecture of that day, of his day. Not a line describing the customs of the people. Is not this singular, he says? There's a reason for it. The apostle was blind. As he traveled about, he was blind to all else but one thing. On the way to Damascus, when he met the Lord Jesus, he was blinded by the vision of his great glory. And from that time, he could see nothing but him and tell nothing but his gospel. And folks, that certainly is something that every one of us as preachers need to have in our life, but it really ought to be every believer. Let me just say, the power that a man that goes out from here has is in part occurring because of the move of God in his home base. We not only need to pray, but we need to have the same kind of vision and heart. For when the home base has power, those connected with us, God works. And I believe that with all my heart. What a responsibility that we have. I'm just going to mention several things here. Look at the divine position that God gave him. And we need to understand this. He surrendered to his divine position. I'm appointed a preacher. Moule says he has called on him to live out his commission to labor and to suffer for the Lord and to remember the wonderful endowment which came to him with that commission, the grace gift which was in him, nothing less than the master living in the man by the Spirit's power. And he said, I've been appointed. I have been given this position as a preacher. And oh, how we need to understand. And this ought to just consume every one of us. Dr. Wilder, a missionary leader in India, was dining with three different naval officers. And during the course of the conversation, one of the officers remarked, "Why don't these missionaries stay home and mind their own business?" He replied, suppose you were ordered to take your battleship to Constantinople tomorrow. Would you choose to whether to obey or not? The officer retorted, if we're ordered to go, we must go even if every ship is sunk and every sailor killed. Quite right, said the missionary. I have orders from the divine government. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. By the way, that's not just for Brother Mueller. That's for every one of us here in this auditorium. It is a divine commission. But he did have a unique appointment. He was appointed a preacher, a proclaimer. Brother Cannaday already mentioned that word is someone that's a herald for the emperor or the king, would only give the message that the king gave. And we as preachers are to give the message of the truth that God has given to us and to give it under his power and under his authority. He was a preacher. And then he was a sent one, a special commission as an apostle, and God sends us. And then he was a teacher of the Gentiles. And you see in this the fullness of the Great Commission. And whether you're a pastor or an evangelist, a missionary, we all have the tremendous responsibility of leading those under our ministry to fulfill the completeness of the Great Commission, and so we should be living out every part of it. And we need to pray that the Lord will bless in the lives of this family, and especially Brother Mueller, that he will have that passionate message, that he'll understand his authority given to him as he is sent, and that he will be able to so impact churches and ministries in the teaching of God's word that the fulfillment of what God has ordained us to do will be accomplished. And you notice he also said, for the which cause, verse 12, I also suffer these things. He submitted to the consequences. Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, we know this, but I just want to charge all of us. As Brother Mueller is out there, and anyone sent from here is out there, they are in a major spiritual battle. It is not a neutral situation. It is not an organizational plan. It is a spiritual battle. And as he proclaims the truth, and the more faithful he is to the truth, and the more he is following through on doing what God has called him to do, the more the Spirit of God is upon him, mark it down, there will be opposition. And by the way, folks, that's what stops us from doing what we ought to do. One of the things, as he referred to the incident of this week, one of the things that marks the man that we all have been stirred by is the fact that truth is going to go forth whatever the consequences. We don't live that way like we should. And let me just say, an evangelist needs to live that way. An evangelist and a pastor, but an evangelist needs to proclaim the truth, whatever the consequences are. And it's wonderful to know when you're fulfilling God's work that you are, when the opposition comes, it's because you are doing God's work. And you got to make sure it is God's work. And so we need to pray for Brother Mueller that God will keep him in a place that he's not vulnerable. Mark Bubik says in his book, The Adversary, speaking of spiritual warfare, thus, the first important step to victory over the flesh is the capacity to be honest. We must see and admit the fleshly sins which are a peculiar temptation and defeat. Do not try to gloss over them. Do not try to hide them from yourself or others, or try to convince God that they are not really there. Rather, it is important to ask the Holy Spirit to show you your fleshly sins in all their lurid ugliness. Until there is such honesty, you will just go on being the victim of your flesh and will be giving ground to Satan. And we will be praying as we lay hands on him for protection. But friends, may I ask you on your regular prayer list to pray for him and these others, that God will keep them so walking with the Lord they will not be vulnerable to Satan's attack. Satan will attack, but if Satan cannot get past, if it's just outward attack but cannot get to the person, then that will simply strengthen and cause the ministry to go forward. Blessed are ye, Matthew 5:11, when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Secondly, we need to pray for the real, genuine divine presence. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Oh, how we need to pray for one another, and we need to pray for our dear brother, that as he faces not only a secular pagan culture, but also a very weak Christianity, that he will not allow himself to be overwhelmed, that he will be free from wanting to be accepted or to promote his ministry, that he will not take any of the world's values in. Spurgeon says, "Worldliness has gone a long way to destroy the church of God. I judge it to be the worst cankerworm that has assailed us." There is a battle. And as much as we think, and I have great confidence in Brother Mueller, but I'm telling you, when you face it and face it and face it and face it and face it, and your ministry is limited somewhat because of the stand you take, it can wear you down. And so we need to understand there will be a battle, but would you pray for this man of God that he will not be ashamed? Truth is truth all the time, anywhere, under every circumstance. It's never popular. It's never easy. There will always be an attack. One of the things I just will share with you is we need another generation of evangelists that are not ashamed. We need to get evangelists back in the pulpit that will preach the whole counsel of God, that will go counterculture, that will preach what people really need, that will not worry about having another meeting in that church. Now, obviously, you've got to follow a pastor and have the right kind of relationship. But oh, how we need fearless preaching today. It's a desperate need. I mean, really, where are the evangelists? Where is the call? And so let's pray for our brother that God will give him spirit-filled courage. But you know where that comes from? I know whom I have believed. Man, when you know the truth and you know the person of the truth, you're not ashamed of the truth. I'm telling you, I knew my dad. I knew who he was. I knew his strengths and a few weaknesses here and there. And I'm telling you, even now, even though he's been dead for many a year, don't come and talk about my dad. I'm sorry, I might lose a little bit of my sanctification. I knew him. I loved him. I knew he was the real deal. And had no trouble talking about him. That pales into insignificance compared to knowing him. Friends, what a Savior. And I'm telling you, when you really walk with Jesus and he's touching your life and the Spirit of God brings him alive in the Word of God, then we have to declare it. Folks, I've been stirred this week. We've got to get back to declaring everything that the Bible teaches. We've got to give the gospel boldly. And we've got to be willing to take whatever comes and not be ashamed. Moule says in his commentary, he takes a clear and steady review of the whole field of seeming disaster and says with a grave tranquility, I'm not at all ashamed or disappointed. That's really the emphasis there. And the reason is a person, Jesus Christ. Oh, the Lord stood by Paul in Corinth and told him that he had much people for him in that city. And Acts 23:11, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Well, he knew his Lord. Man went to hear the great C.H. Spurgeon. And one of his friends asked him when he came out what it was like hearing the famous preacher. And he replied, "I forgot to investigate Mr. Spurgeon. My attention was drawn so closely to Jesus that I forgot about everything else." Let's pray that this dear brother will know Jesus more than he's ever known him. And Brother Mueller, that's your ministry. Evangelist, evangel. You have nothing if it's not Jesus. And this church needs to be so in love with Jesus that everybody out from here can't help but speak of him. Christ in us, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. And then finally, let me just say this. Persuaded, he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He has the power to guard our deposit. He has the power to make our ministry what it ought to be. And we can trust him. We can trust him with all of our heart. God will guard his work through us. It's amazing through the years when you see the ministry of folks and how God keeps that ministry going. After missionaries were expelled from China, the church went further. Awful, awful things happened in Vietnam and Cambodia, and yet people like Dr. Johnson are there finding those very people that the ministry was done, older people, and seeing that ministry still go on. God is able to keep that which is committed to him. And he will guard his work till the end of the age. And let me just say, no age is too hard. He's promised to be with us till the end of the age. And right now, Brother Mueller believes that. Would you pray with me that he will believe it 10 years from now? Because he's going to face realism. Some churches just aren't going to be all that excited. It's going to be some hard times. It's going to be satanic attacks. There needs to be an absolute passion that God means to do a reviving work in our day. Roy Hessian, he was a successful evangelist in England. But he knew he had lost the power of the Spirit in his life, a terrible feeling as he led his evangelistic campaigns. In 1947, he met with leaders of the East African Church, which was experiencing a sweeping revival, and recognized his deep personal need. It was like starting the Christian life over as he came humbly to the cross. And out of that came the Calvary Road, which has blessed so many of us. After he wrote it, he was interviewed and asked if personal revival was continuous or more of a point of time experience. "No, continuous," he answered. "I mean, a thing that is in the past is in the past. It is not affecting me in the present. But Jesus is alive in the present, and his blood has never lost its power. The revival movement is the biggest demonstration of continuous revival. They have recently celebrated their 50th year of revival." They didn't call it that, but it just so happened that certain gatherings are just about the 50th year after, and that revival is going on as never before for one reason, because the blood has never lost its power. Your message is right, despite what you see. And a church can energize the ministry of a man like this by believing that God is ready to revive his work by allowing him to revive us. If, in connection with our church, it depended upon you, how much difference would it make in the ministry of this evangelist? It's a good question for us to ask ourselves. All it takes is a few people really on fire for God, and lots of things change. I believe right now God has opened some doors. I believe God is wanting to do a work. And I believe we as God's people need to be very awake and aware of the fact that he can change things in a moment. And he has done that. And are we willing to be used of God? And so I want to charge our church. Let's support this evangelist by praying. Would we not all agree that a spirit-empowered evangelist is needed in our day? Do you believe that? Yes. Well, then we better pray about it. But here's someone that believes right. Here's someone that's given us life. We are his home base. And may God stir us to not only just pray for him, but to live in such a way that our lives will be a great help and blessing to him. Let's bow for prayer.